The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How the f*** have you not seen that?
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? I am Emma, and today I am joined by the dulcet tones of Len over in Australia.
Yes, hello. Dulcet, I like that.
And good. The lovely voice of Lucy.
Unbelievable.
Hello.
Here also in the UK with me. So for those of you that are new to this series, we have been spending the last nearly 12 months digging into our...
All of lockdown.
Yeah.
Basically.
Digging into our closets of shame to discover what films some of us have never seen that we really fucking should have. And today's film is an absolute... this is a travesty, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all travesties in a way, so...
This is awful. This is one of the worst.
How?
I was shocked.
How the fuck?
I have no idea. How the fuck? So the film that we are talking about today is the 1996 Danny Boyle classic Trainspotting. And I will announce to you, lovely listeners, that Len has never seen Trainspotting. Len, how the fuck have you not seen that?
Yes, this is a weird one. Now, every time we do this, I always say, you know, there can't be other films that we haven't seen. This is getting to the point now where it's like we're supposed to be professionals. Yeah, we're supposed to be telling people what's good, what's not good, and that sort of thing. How can I not have seen Trainspotting? You know, that is mental. This is up there as one of the worst ones. I would say Reservoir Dogs, which is also me, is a bad one.
Yeah, shameful.
Gladiator was absolutely mental.
I mean,
like the fact that
Pulp
you
Fiction,
went to Gladiator, Emma, is the
Pulp
worst.
Pulp Fiction for me was...
That
was shame.
Up there. That's up there as well. We've all missed films. We've all missed some films. But the worst thing, and this is what this series is about, is admitting that we've been lying about it. Yeah. So I can put my hand on my heart and say I've pretended that I've seen Trainspotting probably about 20 to 30 times. There have been literal conversations where I've just gone, yeah, that's really good film, that. Ewan McGregor, he's so good in that film. You know, and just all this shit. And I feel dirty. I feel dirty. There was a part of me that was like, I might not even say this. Yeah.
You did it in our WhatsApp group when John, everyone sent photos of themselves. I think you're all drunk or hungover. I don't know. I did not participate. And John did it, formatted the pictures like the Trainspotting poster. And he said, oh, it's like Trainspotting. And Len's like, ha, 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 ha. It's like, I mean, obviously you can recognise the poster, but it's just, the way, the speed with which you joined in on the joke when you haven't actually seen the film, you know, it's just a great example.
I'm a scumbag,
Yeah, especially because of this, yeah.
Len is the film buff, 100%.
That is true.
The proper, yeah. I know all of the films, all of the best films, and Trainspotting, like, even I've seen that multiple times. So, Len, how did you miss this?
Okay, just quickly, John is listening to this, raging that you just called me the film buff. So yes, that is right, John. I do know more about films
apparently
than you.
Not considering all the films you haven't seen.
Okay, so I missed this one, guys, and genuinely, you know what it is, it's just one of those that we've talked about before, we've all had them where it's like, I could watch this today, and that's probably happened to me over 50 times. There's been a time where, well, what should I watch? And I flick through and I've seen Trainspotting. I've still never seen it. And it's just every time I've just not been in the mood. And I'll tell you something, like when we talk about our thoughts on this film, I think I made the correct decision, like about not watching it certain times, because I think it is kind of like a trippy film, obviously, and it's stuff going on in it. But I just always put it off. And then, you know, it's an easy one to lie about because I know the principal characters, I know the general vibe. So it's an easy one for me to be a little sneakerson and pretend that I've seen it, you know, and save 94 minutes of my life.
89,
but I have watched it now. Well, 89, wow. Wow, even better. But I have watched it now, so I'm looking forward to talking about it with you guys and seeing what your guys' thoughts is on it as well.
Well, we can put a pin in your opinions for now. Self-proclaimed film buff Len.
Opinions. Opinions.
I still can't get over this. Lucy, could you tell us and our listeners about your first experience with Trainspotting, what you think of it and your bloobs.
Well, please. I can't actually remember my first experience of watching it. I reckon I would have been sort of early teens when I watched it. I have actually read the book. I studied the book at school and at uni. So I have like extra layers.
Educated.
Yeah. And the book is a difficult read because it's all written in the vernacular. So it's all written like, yo, we read cunt. It takes you a while to get into it. We're not talking about the book though. The film... It's funny rewatching it because I was like, oh, yes, classic film. But I think I just kind of remembered like the bits that, Len, you probably knew from not watching it. Like, Lust for Life, going down the toilet, Muppet Baby. And I forgot that it actually had a plot. So I can't think of how many times I must have seen it, but probably not that many. Because again, as Len said, I don't know now when I would choose to watch it because it is quite grim.
Yeah.
Viewing quite is an understatement there. But I think it's a great film. I think it kind of captures the zeitgeist of the so-called cool Britannia of the 90s. The music, the acting, the visuals, everything, like the grittiness of it, but the magical realism that Danny Boyle brings to the scenes, it all works together. And as almost like a time capsule of that time, you can't really get any better, which again is why it's so weird you haven't seen it, Len, because it's such a prototype of the type of film that came after that never quite matched it. Watching it again, it is a more of a difficult watch than I remember, again, because there is actually a plot. As much as it's very short, you know, that it isn't just visual after visual after visual. Yeah, and they get on with it as well, which is really good. I couldn't give this film any less than 5 blueberries because I think for what it is, it's kind of perfect. I can't see anything wrong with it. And it's so short.
Okay.
Lisa, I'm with you on
that.
You
love a short film.
You know I do. And now you know why, Len. Yeah, I love them. Put that out there, I don't care.
I think I'm probably the same as you, Lucy. I think I watched it in my teens and I've seen it a number of times, but rewatching it, we both watched it on Friday night, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Banging Friday night in, Trainspotting and a cup of tea. And for me, this is canon.
Yes.
This is such an influential film. And, you know, like you say, it kind of gave you that grounding for what came after, in like so many classic films of the 90s. The performances are fantastic and they're really, the plot is sad. Like the story is sad
in
a lot of ways. And there's some parts of it that are really quite traumatizing that I'd 100% forgotten about. The most traumatizing part of the entire film is the one thing I completely forgot was in Trainspotting. And it fucked my head up massively. Like, that was awful. But Lisa, I agree with you. This is absolutely a 5 blueberry film for me. There is nothing, it's steady paced. It's not too fast. It's not too slow. It wraps up the story nicely. There's drama, there's humour, there's amazing performances. It's completely different. And it's an absolute classic.
It's just
solid.
Perfectly formed, I think. It's just like a little round egg of just, this is film. Like you say, this is canon. Like this has everything. And then it's gone. And you're like, yes, that's what I want from a film.
So after that, Len's I can see Len's face. He's like, I'm not having that. So come on, talk to us about watching Trainspotting and your score.
I'm interested in hearing what you think.
So I will, every time we do this, I always say, you know what, I had a lovely Sunday because I get to watch this film again, or I get to watch something new, and you sort of sit down. And, you know, we've had, like I said, we had Gladiator, even Blood Diamond, which I kind of enjoy, which I know you guys didn't like that much. Still, you know, good Sunday viewing. Today, I was very hungover. Ooh. And when I say very hungover, ouch, I mean like apocalyptically hungover.
You sound quite hungover, if I may say.
Yeah, thanks. I've been in recovery mode all day. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put Trainspotting on now because obviously we're going to talk about this tonight.
Just to lull me to sleep.
And I will say...
nice, gentle film.
It made me feel a bit uneasy just because it is, the whole film is one trip. Like, it's very fast. You know, the editing is kind of like... It reminded me of a Kubrick film in the fact that the narration... some of the visuals, and that makes it quite visceral. Like, it sort of really jolted my brain when I was watching things, and it made me feel very uneasy. And obviously, I think that's the idea, is that, you know, you're in this drug-filled sort of world. Everything looks depressing. Everything is grimy. Like, I turned to Mel at one point when we were watching this. I was like, everything just looks disgusting. And I was like, it just made me feel gross, which I get is the point of it. I think for me, because I've come to this so late, I can obviously see its influence on other films, but I also didn't have it sort of as that wow moment. We've talked about this before. When you come to a film late, you can see, oh yeah, I can see how other films have copied this or tried to do something like this. But because I've seen it now in other forms, and different guises, when I watched this, I wasn't like, wow. Like, you know, you'd have that wow moment where you see something that completely changes your perspective of how a film could be made, right? So I didn't have that. But I will say, you know, it was a very good film. I personally will not give it 5 blueberries.
You give everything 5 blueberries.
Why not Trainspotting?
No, I don't, Lucy. I gave Reservoir Dogs 4 blueberries. So I will stick this with that. I think this is a 4 blueberry film for me. And it's just because, maybe it's because I'm hungover, but it's also just because I didn't enjoy it. Like, I know, and we've talked about this before, about what you get out of a film. And sometimes you can see the merits of what's going on. But also at the same time, sometimes you want to enjoy a film, and I wanted to enjoy this. Like, I really did want to enjoy it loads. And I thought, black comedy about drugs and stuff like that. But actually, what I took away from it was more sort of depressing, which I understand is the point. But I just didn't, you know, I wasn't in the right headspace. It's not really what I wanted from it. But I can understand all of the merits of the film. Like, I get it. And I get that if you were there at the inception of this film, like when it, you know, when it was made and when it came out and when you saw it in its infancy, I reckon it was like, whoa, this is awesome. And obviously, as like film students have studied it and stuff, you can see why, and why Danny Boyle is such a fantastic filmmaker. You know, I love Danny Boyle. He's one of my favorite directors. He absolutely can create a film of any genre and make amazing characters and great, you know, scenes and set pieces, everything. He's a great, great director. And this is a great window into, I think this was his first film, right? This is a great window into that.
No, Shallow Grave was his first film.
Oh, yes. Shallow Grave, then this. But you can see how his career really rises up. So it's a 4 from me. I am glad that I've seen it now so that I don't have to lie about it. But I will tell you this, like Lucy said, I will not be going, oh, what do you want to do tonight? Put on Trainspotting? Definitely not.
No.
It's not one of those you want to rewatch.
No.
I will say I am excited to see Trainspotting 2 because I know that a couple of years ago, and this would have been a good point to jump in and maybe watch Trainspotting, was when T2 came out. But I never got round to doing that, obviously. So I'm excited to see what the fuss is about that. Apparently it's an okay sequel.
Me and Gaz actually went to see that in Australia together with Aaron.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I can't remember any of it.
I actually haven't seen it yet.
I cannot remember basically any of it. I think it was good, but it has not stuck in my mind. And I don't really think there needed to be a sequel that late after.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No. Let's talk about, 4 blueberries. Not a bad score. You're wrong, but, you know.
Well, to be fair, watching it now, I think I understand what you mean then, because I was like that with Pulp Fiction. Like, you get it, but you don't feel it.
Very quickly, before we jump into our thoughts on Trainspotting, just want to draw your attention to all of the amazing other stuff that we do at Fan Critical. We have got a number of different shows out there which you can access on your favourite podcasting platform. And also, if you'd like to support us to hear more of this, you can head over to patreon.com/fancritical. And this week, I'd like to say a really big thank you to Megan for supporting us on Patreon. Welcome, new Patreon. Lovely, lovely new listener.
Welcome.
Thank you, Megan.
And thank you for your support. So, yep, if you want to check out some of our Patreon exclusive content, give us a bit of support so we can keep making these, then head on over to patreon.com/fancritical. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk about... Okay, so this is a bit of a difficult one. So, favourite slash standout scenes. And I think we need to address... Uh-huh. First off, I think we need to address the baby. Like, this is not one of my favorite.
This is why I don't. Well, then, at this point.
Don't want to use the word favorite, but that has got to stand out as one of the most shocking things in this film, because that's where it becomes real. Like, really real, isn't it?
When I talk about watching this film and not being in the right mindset, I think seeing something like that as well, it's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible. It's just a horrible scene. And the way the film deals with it, and I'm not going to say that it brushes past it, because it doesn't. It obviously sticks in the minds of the characters. But they're so obsessed with, like, heroin at that point that they're just getting another hit after that situation happens. And that is, man, it makes me, like, my skin just go a bit funny now thinking about that scene. It's horrible.
I think that's what makes it so powerful, though, is the fact that
it is powerful. Yeah,
it's horrific. It's, yeah. The fact that they are so obsessed with getting high that they've forgotten about a baby who has now died, and their first reaction, in order to be able to deal with it, is to run to the drug.
Yeah,
that for me is why it's so hard hitting, because it brings you right back to the reality that this isn't fun and games and, you know, shits and giggles. This is the harsh reality of addiction. And I think, you know, I want us to address it, because it is obviously quite a, you know, I would say important part of the film. But also because it is fucking traumatizing. And as an adult now, I think that hit me harder than it did when I first saw this.
I mean, I was dreading it from the beginning. And I messaged Emma, because you obviously see the baby throughout. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm really, like, stressing out about the bit with the baby. But I think when I've seen it, I think I must have watched it on Channel 4. I swear they edit out some of the actual shot of the baby once the baby's dead. Because I was like, I don't remember seeing it that much. Because I was like, oh, God. It's very, when you know it's coming, it's just like, oh, shit. And it really is a marker of the addiction, like. They've just let this baby hang around. The baby's dead. And the first thought is, oh, how can I get more drugs? Like, it's horrific. And it's like a turning point for Renton in that something has to change. I know at that point he's like, he still wants the drugs. But you can see from that point onwards, there is a shift in his character.
Yeah, it's a catalyst, isn't it? Well, look, now we've addressed that, we'll move on.
Never discuss it again.
Thank God. We can't not address that scene. Len, what's one of your favourite scenes from Trainspotting now you've watched it?
This is the thing. I talk about scenes like, you know, obviously there are some that are memorable. So the toilet scene is memorable because I was watching it and I was physically
gagging.
Firstly, I was like, I wasn't feeling well, as I said, hungover. And then he walks into that toilet.
Yeah, this is such a bad film to watch when you're hungover. The worst.
Yeah.
Emotionally traumatising and sick.
So he walks into the toilet. It's absolutely disgusting. And then he's like climbing into it, which I thought visually was quite cool. Like a cool visual trick that they pulled there. And then diving into the water and then coming out of the toilet. So that sticks in my mind, mainly because it made me feel, like you said, like I was going to throw up and gag everywhere. And I was sort of eating like a tuna sandwich.
Oh, at the time. Len, when you're hungover. What's wrong with you, man?
That's my hangover cure, is a tuna sandwich and a chocolate milkshake.
That's just wrong. I mean,
now I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, guys. Sorry to the listeners. but I was just like, oh, I couldn't finish my sandwich. It's a bad time for everyone involved, to be completely honest with you. So that sticks out for that reason.
That's so
great. I'll let someone else go and then I'll come back for another scene. But I will say this, none of the scenes, like, none of the characters, and this is just my thought, that obviously they're not good people, right? They're not good people. There's not many redeeming qualities about any of them. So I kind of wasn't drawn to any of them in any way, shape or form. Like, oh, even Renton, I was kind of like, I wasn't like, oh, I hope he gets his act together. I was just kind of like, oh, he's got his act together, sort of. That's all right.
He's not a good person. Like, he's just smarter than the rest of them. He's not like nice or worthy person. Yeah.
No. There aren't very many redeeming qualities.
And not a horrible person, I think. Spud is just unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, can we okay. So Spud, I think, has one of my favourite scenes.
Oh.
Why would you go in there with the sheets? Again. Just fucking dispose of them.
I just don't know.
Everyone having breakfast. Here's my pile of shit. Why have you brought them in, Spud?
A number of points about this. So firstly, I learnt on Friday, or relearned, that apparently when you come off heroin, you get the shits, which is news to me. Secondly, if you woke up and you'd shit the bed, why would you bring the sheets in to the breakfast table? Thirdly, how much fucking shit was in those sheets? Like, that
How long has he been on the smack, you know?
Well, yeah, it's just like, building
been backed up.
Just been building up. But it absolutely creased me up at the point where I was like, 50% of me wanted to vomit and the other 50% was just absolute
Len's
stitches.
Just like, not more.
It was amazing. Like, just hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Oh, poor Spud. God. And you just, I really felt for him. I was like, what are you doing? Don't bring it in. Just take it to the washing machine. Just put it in the bag and take it home. Yeah.
Any of the above is better than just like hobbling in with it and saying, I'm going to put this in the washing machine. Like, of course she's going to try and take it off you, Spud. They probably could have smelt it as he brought it in.
Yeah.
Sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so grim.
Don't do drugs,
so kids.
It's not glamorous. Gross. It's not glamorous whatsoever.
No.
It's not like Skins.
Yeah. I will tell you, I think the thing is, this film definitely gets that point across. It is the furthest thing from glamorous that you can imagine. I mean, this, like I said, this film, every scene, every room, every hallway, every street corner, you know, the characters' clothes, even the clubs they go to and stuff like that, it all is disgusting. Like, it's all horrible to look at.
Well,
it made me literally feel disgusting the whole time watching it. And that's obviously great filmmaking, because this world that they're living in, this drug-filled, horrible world that they're living in, makes you repulsed. Like, I was genuinely repulsed for the whole film and in the characters' actions and what they do. So, obviously, Danny Boyle's done a great job with that.
It's not only the drug scene, it's also Edinburgh in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and it was rough. I mean, it's not quite Glasgow, but, you know, it was poor and it was scummy.
You know, I think there are a few scenes that I enjoy in the film. One is when Renton goes home with Diane, they have sex, and then in the morning he comes out and he's like, oh, you're flatmates, and they're like, haha, and they're just so, her parents are just so chill, and then when she emerges in her school uniform, you're just
about?
Like, oh, shit. So I like
shit,
I like that scene. There's also...
What is that
just,
about?
That?
That's
mean,
so weird. How are they okay with that?
It's like, you're a friend
like,
of Diane's.
What
Diane's
is going
like,
on there?
Yeah. There's also a good scene when they all... I think it's Tommy, make them all go out into the countryside to see Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
And then he does Renton does a speech and it just reminds me, it's like the flip side of Braveheart, which I hadn't seen and we covered a few weeks ago. And it's like, he's talking about the pride of Scotland. He's like, I don't hate the English. They're just wankers. We were colonised by wankers. That is not a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
That's just a bit northern.
No.
Doesn't it make you proud to be Scottish? It's shite being Scottish. We're the lowest of the low. The scum of the fucking earth. The most wretched, miserable, servile, pathetic trash that was ever shot into civilization. Some people hate the English. I don't. They're just wankers. We, on the other hand, are colonised by wankers. Can't even find a decent culture to be colonised by. We're ruled by effete arseholes. It's a shite state of affairs to be in, Tommy. And all the fresh air in the world won't make any fucking difference.
Yeah, that's because it's a year before, isn't it, Braveheart? And it's like Scottish patriotism. And then he's like, no, it's shit being Scottish. And you're like, yeah, judging by what you're going through, it is shit being Scottish.
That is probably one of my favourite pieces of dialogue from the film, if not my favourite piece of dialogue from the film. I think it's brilliant. And like I said, this film is labelled as like a black comedy. For me, a lot of the humour didn't hit that well. But that moment in the field where they're just going to walk to this lovely mountain and then he's like, oh, fuck this. Fuck being Scottish. This is all shit. My life's shit. Everything's shit. And they just turn around and go home. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's good. That is good. That really, really good. Maybe one of the only moments of levity that I actually felt during the film.
Yeah.
But yeah, love that speech. Like, love it.
The performances in this, I mean, you got to think about the cast. The cast are fantastic. Like, Ewan McGregor nails Renton. Like, that is, he plays it so well. He's so good. But the two for me that I thought were the best, Johnny Lee Miller as Sick Boy, like, he really played that well. There's that scene where they're both trying to come off the gear and they're lying down with like a BB gun in the park. And I don't know what it is. There's just something about that. And the way you've got Ewan McGregor kind of voiceovering everything and Johnny Lee Miller just being, I can't describe what baggy trousers and a suit jacket with a purple t-shirt. Just what is it? But the standout for me is Kelly MacDonald. She is so good. And this was like, this was one of her first roles. And you forget how fantastic an actress she is. I thought she was brilliant in this.
And can I just scoot? Really, for me, the standout is Robert Carlyle as Begbie. Because every time he's on scene, in the scene, you're like, what's he going to do? It's like almost like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. You're like, he's just exuding menace and violence. And it's simmering like, I know it's not funny, but when he chucks that glass, it hits the woman. He's like, this lassie's been glassed. I don't know why I keep trying to do the accent. Really sorry. But it's just so funny that he's like, any excuse for a scrap, gets his knife out. Well, actually, I think he left his knife.
He's just a complete psychopath. It's great.
His performance is like, it's that thing when he's on screen, you're like, like, what's he going to do? And the rest of them, they're all like, yeah, he's a psycho, he's this, but he's a mate. It's like, yep, he is a mate.
What are you going to do? We've all got those mates who, you know, that sometimes they're just dickheads and there's nothing you can do about it. Just because they're your mate, you're just like, oh, I still want
to kicking
mate, though,
off again.
How can you not to dickheads? That extent, to like murder?
No, obviously not. But, you know,
obviously
you
not.
Just have an idiot mate on a night out. Obviously not. But yeah, I thought Robert Carlyle actually was my favourite. Obviously, Ewan McGregor, like, narrating the whole film, and I said this at the start, it was very Kubrick-esque. Mm. Like, it reminded me of Alex in Clockwork Orange, sort of narrating it as he goes, this dystopian world. And this does feel very dystopian, like, because it doesn't feel like a world that I know, you know? It feels like some sort of run-down version of the world that I know. And so I felt that he was, obviously Ewan McGregor's really good, but yeah, Robert Carlyle, I love him anyway as an actor. I think he's fantastic. Yeah. And the aggression that he showed during this film, and just like, because I didn't know where it was going to go, obviously. And I was like, right, well, surely this guy's going to get arrested. How has this guy not been put in jail? How the fuck is Spud getting 6 months for shoplifting, and Robert Carlyle's literally carrying around a pocket knife, knifing people in bars, harassing American tourists?
Absolute lunatic.
That's the justice system for you, Len.
He's absolute lunatic.
Punishing the victims, punishing the addicts,
Okay, got you. Yeah, good point.
I've got to mention Tommy. So, was it Kevin McKidd?
Yes.
And he's obviously, like, initially clean cut, don't do drugs, all of this stuff.
Yeah. So sad.
How sad is the fact that he ends up just a fucking mess?
Renton just lets it happen, though. Like, I know he's an adult, but it's like, no, don't give him any smack. You know how bad it is. Why are you bringing Tommy into it? It's your fault they split up.
The last thing you should do is that.
It's his fault they split up with the video. So Renton's not a good
100
person.
100 best girls.
At all.
No, this is it. This is what I mean. Like, the thing with Tommy is, like, actually heartbreaking to see... You know, there's obviously a line of VO, but it says, like, you know, Tommy's never cheated. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't do that. He's just an honest guy. He always tells the truth or whatever. And he's like working out or whatever when you first speak to him properly. And then to see him literally die of, AIDS essentially, and to go on that spiral because of Renton. This is what I mean. Like, they're not even really grey characters. They're just bad people.
They are just shit people.
Yeah, there's not really, like you said, maybe Spud, but other than that, they're all like villains of the piece. It's all of these guys, like they're not, and that's the thing. Sometimes you see a glimmer of something with certain characters, like maybe you see a glimmer of something with Renton, but overall his actions are horrible. Even at the end of the film when he steals all the money, it's a dog act, you know. He's not a very nice person. Selfish. And that's the thing. You want to like characters. Like, deep down, even if the film centres around bad characters, you are looking for, like, some chink of light that you can grasp onto and go, you know, yeah, maybe I actually like this character because I can see something in them. But I don't see anything in any of these guys.
No, there is nothing redeemable about them, is there?
Yeah.
Even Diane.
I love it, you know?
I'm not sure there's anything that I find particularly redeemable about Diane's character either, and she's 14. Like...
She seems quite switched on. I'd say she seems quite switched on. But,
and I think you can admire her. I don't think you have to like everyone. I don't think there is like a sort of way of thinking that, I don't like someone, then I can't watch this, I can't watch this show because there's no one likeable.
No, obviously not. No.
But I know what you mean, that Renton's kind of put up as like the anti-hero. And it's like, he's not actually, he's not a nice
guy. He's not even he's just bad.
He gets out I think with him, it's like, it's the drugs that are holding him back, but it's also his friends. Like, his friends are really, really dragging him down, whether it's Sick Boy's schemes or Begbie's violence. Spud's just incompetent. And when he goes to London, like, that is when I kind of do feel for him, because he's just trying to have a normal life. And when they all turn up, it is like, he's trying. Yeah. Like, he's trying to go straight.
Yeah.
He's made something of himself, and fucking Begbie turns up. You can't turn him away. He'll knife you. So that is when, for me, like, the empathy for Mark actually comes into the picture, because he's out of that from his own volition, and now he's getting dragged back in, and he won't fucking say anything. So he's now back in the deal. Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
As is tradition.
I'll take that on board.
Thank you, Len.
Mm-hmm.
As is tradition, I feel that now it's time to test whether Len has actually watched this or he's just been on IMDb. With the How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That quiz today, hosted by Lucy.
Yes. I've got my quiz cap on. Yeah. Quiz cap.
Whoop, okay. Whoop.
I'm actually a bit worried about this because I didn't really...
I don't know, you know.
I didn't really pay super good attention,
I think,
you know.
I tested this on Aaron and he got 3. So I think... He watched it on Friday and was like, what? So, okay, right.
Just for the listeners at home, I just want to remind you, if I don't score 3 correctly, I have to rewatch the film.
You have to start taking heroin.
If I get 3, oh my God, could you imagine? then watch this film whilst on heroin. God.
Yeah, if you don't get 3, you have to now just be a heroin addict.
Yeah, that's the punishment.
That's it.
Disgusting. Right, anyway.
High stakes.
So you would say there's more pressure on this quiz than any other quiz we've had before.
Ultimate quiz.
And no one has ever failed. No one has ever failed. So
not yet.
I don't want to be the first one to fail. Okay. I'll play some music for you now, Luz, and let's get into it.
Question 1. What is Begbie's first name?
Oh, fuck.
Okay, I thought that was quite an easy one to start with.
It begins with a G, I think. Or am I making it up? Gary? Is it Gary?
No, Gary.
Is that wrong?
No.
Wrong.
Francis.
This is the problem.
They sometimes call him Franco, Francis. But it's Francis.
Franco.
Bad start, Lenny. Bad start.
Bad start.
Oh my God. Start. Get the needle ready.
Get the belt. That was one of the easier ones. Okay.
Get a belt.
What is the name of the club where Renton meets Diane?
I remember this because it was cool and it was big letters, Volcano.
Yes, correct. That was quite a tricky one, so that was all right. Okay. Yeah,
that visually, I'm better with visuals than like names.
Okay.
I remember the big volcano sign. That was pretty
cool. Yes, it is quite nicely lit. Okay, yeah. Number three. Yeah. Which actor is Sick Boy always talking about?
Oh, easy. And I have to say, this was one of my favourite things in the film when we just talked about it. But how he keeps just talking
obsessed
about fucking Sean Connery.
No one ever responds. He's just like chatting away and they're all like, yeah.
It's that bit right at the beginning where he's giving the girl the shot of heroin and he takes his hit and then he goes, and then when he was really jacked up as so-and-so before he did this, and you're like, dude, what?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I have to say, I really agree with him as well. I'm not a fan of The Untouchables. So when
he's not very good in The Untouchables. Do you think it was a pity no. Oscar?
I do think it was a pity Oscar, Lucy. So
yeah, okay, you agree with Sick Boy, okay. Right. You don't get an extra point for that, but okay.
Oh.
So okay. That's 2 out of 3. Uh-huh. What did Tommy buy Lizzie to try to get her back?
Tommy.
Oh!
Lizzie.
Aaron said a candle. I was like, no, he didn't buy her a candle.
If you don't get it, Len, I think I know it.
Okay. You know,
well, I've eliminated
it's not a candle.
My thought process now. But at least Aaron's, he's thinking outside the box. I like that. So maybe it's something like a candle. I don't know. Did I switch off during this point?
I mean, I'm not going to give you any clues, actually. Just give me the answer.
Flowers.
No. Emma? Oh,
fuck's sake.
Am I right in saying it was a kitten?
Yes.
And the kitten gave him the infection.
Oh.
Toxoplasmosis, or whatever he dies of.
Yeah, Moses.
Yeah. Of the dog, the
fuck.
Cat shit. Yes.
Oh,
so,
I'm so annoyed.
You've got 2. Not a candle or flowers.
Len, last question.
I need to get
you
two
have
more, right?
No, you've got two. No. You've got 2 more.
Oh, we've got 6 questions.
No, I've got 2 more questions. Yeah. So, you pipe down over there. Jesus Christ.
Question 5. Which Scottish football team does Renton support?
Hibs.
Hibernian. Yes, correct.
Hibs.
So, you're safe.
You don't have to do heroin, Len.
No smack for you. Just the last question. How much money did Renton leave Spud in the locker in pounds sterling?
Okay, so if I'm right, they said they're £2,000 bundles. He left him a bundle. So I would say it's £2,000.
You're correct. You got 4 out of 6.
Well done, Len.
Good score. Yes. Well done.
Yes, thanks. I will say I was very scared at one point. After the first question, I was actually terrified because I was like, oh my God, if I don't know that, then I'm in trouble. But turns out I know some other weird
things.
Yeah,
you were paying attention, so well done.
Well done, Len. I'm proud of you. Well, all that is left is to reopen that closet of shame and find out who is the next person with something awful that they haven't seen. I have one.
Okay. Now, this is we do this live, audience, because we feel it induces the most amount of actual shock. We actually don't talk about this on WhatsApp. So, if Emmy, if you've got one, then feel free. Unless, Lucy, you feel like you've got a rival one that you want to do. You guys decide.
I have got one, but I'll let Emma go.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if mine's that bad.
I don't know either.
I don't know if anyone else has seen it.
So, it'll be interesting to see. So, what I was looking at when I was checking out some facts for today's podcast, I was looking at Danny Boyle films.
Yeah.
I was like, I've never seen Slumdog Millionaire.
Ah.
So how terrible that is I don't know.
It is a good film.
Very bad. It's an Oscar winning film.
I mean,
so it's very bad.
It's
pity Oscar.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a pity Oscar.
I mean,
yeah, that's not like terrible, but you know.
Is yours worse, Lucy?
Surprised. Haven't seen Apocalypse Now. So maybe that is a bit worse.
Oh, that is worse.
That is worse.
I think what I'm going to do here is as the managing director.
Adjudicator.
And the adjudicator. I'm going to say that we do Lucy's because that is shocking.
That is proper shocking. Apocalypse Now is an amazing film.
I've started it, but it's just long.
But Emma, what I will say is we will come back to Slumdog Millionaire at some point. But let's start Apocalypse Now is the next. How the fuck have you not seen that?
Yeah.
I definitely quote that film. I definitely quote it. So, yeah, it's another one of these just lies that has taken on a whole new life.
Oh, Lucy. Yeah.
And the thing is, you're always, you know, playing Ride of the Valkyries as well. So you're like constantly just referencing. You'll get it when you see the film, Lucy. So
you have
I know, but
you of all people not to have seen Apocalypse.
I love a Vietnam War film, but apparently not this one.
Apparently not.
So yeah.
Okay. So next on the list, then, listeners, the next How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That will be Apocalypse Now.
Another cheerful
Lucy.
Film.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Another cheery one. Yeah. Loads of happy films. You know, it makes me think that Finding Nemo was a lovely time.
Yeah. Wasn't that a highlight?
That was a great Sunday morning film.
That was nice.
Yeah, for God's sake, someone bring back animations. Like, where's Gaz when you need it?
Yeah, we'll get another one of them.
Thank you, everyone. Len, I'm really glad that you passed the quiz and you don't have to go and become a smack addict.
Yeah. Thanks.
Lucy.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent work for not having seen Apocalypse Now, because it means I've got an excuse to rewatch it. And thanks to me for getting up on a Sunday morning to talk shit about Trainspotting.
Yeah.
Yes. Well done, Emma, for hosting.
That's good.
Cheers, team.
Well done.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you all in a few
weeks
for How the Fuck Has Lucy Not Seen Apocalypse Now?